Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Today, guys, go ahead and turn, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. For those who don't know where that is, good Lord gave you the table of contents in the front of the book. That one helps me. The Holy Spirit will guide you through that to the right page, okay? So, but it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. This is where we start. It says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." Go ahead and say the word dead.
Dead.
I was dead. I was gone. I was 6 feet under. I needed Jesus. Like, I was dead. Dead, right? And that's where I was. You see, God, he hates sin because sin makes death, and God himself is life. And so death cannot be with life, right? So God loves you. He hates sin because it's literally death. That's why he wants to wipe out sin, because he wants to wipe out death, because he himself is life. And that's what he comes to bring to us. So keep going. It says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived." Like, hold up. A lot of times we say, they're the sinners over there, and like, hey, we're in church, we're good people. And he says, like, no, The sons of disobedience, among whom all of us were once a part of. He's very clear to say, we were all in this thing. It says, "Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Come on, by nature. There was something embedded in our DNA, like when we were born, that just went after sin. Like, you don't have to teach a child how to sin. Like, they're really good at just figuring it out, right? Like they just no, it's mine. I'm taking it from you. You're like, what? I did not teach you that, right? And so there's something inside of us that without Jesus is just dead. I love the message. It says it like this. It says, "It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in the old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience." Dang. Wow. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what generation you say you're a part of. It doesn't matter what political party you're in, what ethnicity you're in. It doesn't matter who you associate. It doesn't matter what your past says. We were all in the same boat, and there was nothing that no one could do to get us out of it. And this boat was sinking. Every religion is trying to plug this boat up, trying to give answers for it, trying to fit the hole to get us to stay afloat, and we're sinking, man. This is where we are. This is where the world is without Jesus. Verse 4. This is the part that Gabe did his Devo on, and he gave me the title of my message and really sparked this in my life. To think about verse 4, it says, "But God." This one moment, this "but God," this little phrase sums up the entire gospel. Here's everything that was wrong, but God steps in. Yeah, this word in Greek, it's this word "day," and it means "but." It means nonetheless, except for, instead of. And I love this part. It says this word opposes everything that was previously mentioned. It's like this analogy is the picture of a child who's like, I want a Happy Meal. And you're like, we're going to get you a Happy Meal. Great. And then you're like, but you got to do your chores first. The child does not remember anything before that but. And they're like, oh, man, I'm never getting my Happy Meal, right? You just canceled everything about what I was going to get. And now I'm just going to do chores, man, right? You just directly wiped out everything you were previously saying. That's what this word means. You were dead. You were gone. You were sinking. You were exhaling disobedience. But God stepped in and wiped it all out. This is the gospel in two words, but God. You see, God, he is so good about interrupting my life. Like, he is so good at just divinely just disturbing me, right? I was going through this intersection of my life, and God just sideswiped me with a semi of just glory and took me away, right? Like, I was flying, going, doing my thing, not realizing I was flying right into the ground, and God just, like, wholly just hijacked my life and just took the thing and steered it back up, right? This is, he loves to interrupt. He loves to just jump in and just twist it all just for glory and goodness. Like, oh, he just has this habit about him. This is the gospel, but God. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It's like he like defibrillated my soul, just woke me back up. With him, by grace you've been saved and raised up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places. He like saved me a seat at his table. Verse 7 says, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It's that he did this so that he could show us even more of his grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift from God. By definition, you cannot earn a gift. It's a gift. The only thing you can earn, when you earn it, it's called a wage. The only wage I've earned, the wages of sin, is death. The only thing that I earned with my paycheck was death. But the gift of God was eternal life. Not a result of work, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship. I love, this is one of my favorite words, the word workmanship. It's a Greek word, poema. It's where we get the English word poem. We are his poem, crafted by the author of life. That's who you are now. You're the very poem of God. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God loves stories with these great interruptions. He will take somebody who was dead and make them alive. Somebody who was sick and make them healed. Someone who had pain and depression and make them joyful. He loves to take the weak and make them strong. Like, this is our God, the God of who just loves to butt in. He just loves to butt in. He like, oh man. And this became a theme. After Gabe shared this message, it just, God said, this is gonna be your theme for the trip. So I began to look out for it, and sure enough, it happened all throughout Nepal. And can I share a couple of those testimonies and when God just decided to butt in? Is that cool? All right, here we go. It's incredibly rude. He just jumps in and just saves my life, man. Okay, here we go. We were in Nepal. They started to hit on some of the testimonies in here, but we went to this place called the Monkey Temple. There was monkeys. It's where David got bit. You're going to have to talk to him about that. It was great. He just shook it off. He just got that monkey right off his back and just kept going. And so we go to this Buddha statue, and there's like 100-foot-tall golden statue of Buddha. And at the same time, there just happened to be a Buddhism conference going on. And there was a, like, they call it a llama, like the Dalai Lama. It was one of his, like, priest guys. And so it was the something llama. And he was there, and they had, like, a tent meeting. It was like a counterfeit of just Christianity happening. And they were all in there. They were smoking weird stuff, chanting weird things. They had these wheels that they would spin, and if they spun it 108 times, that they would get a sin forgiven. And it's like, and so they would just spin these things, trying to earn their salvation, right? And so here we are. There's hundreds of monks and hundreds of people around at the place of the Buddha statue himself. This is straight up belly of the beast. You're in the dark. Here we go. And we show up here and we just say, okay, God, what are you going to do? And the team, Gabe brought the guitar, and our first plan, we just said, let's just find a spot over here and worship. And to be honest with you guys, I was just totally intimidated. I was like, and I was forced to come to this question, can God show up in a place like this? And it's like, oh, that looks great on paper, I say yes, but now it's time to actually see if the theory works, you know? And so here we are, and so Gabe just starts worshiping, and he does guitar, and I'm like, yeah, let's just worship. Why? Two reasons why you worship. One is quickest way to get rid of darkness, just turn on the light. Like, don't walk around rebuking darkness, just turn on the light, right? And it's just easier, practically. And so we just worshiped, and we just believed worship itself would begin to do things. Second reason why, it bought me about 10 minutes to try to pray and say, God, what are you going to do, please? like it just bought me some time. I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do. Let's just worship. I just got to figure this out, right? And so we're there. We're worshiping. It's beautiful. God is showing up. He's totally showing up. And then we look over. There's this guy who sits down, and he is, you can tell he's listening. And he's like slowly kind of scooting over more and more and like listening. So I go over to him when we're kind of finishing up worship. I said, hi, are you listening? And he looks at me and he said, are you doing something religious right now? And I just said, I was like totally intimidated because I know Christians have been kicked out of this spot for being Christians, right? And I'm like, that's us. So I have a choice now to kind of just straight up ease my way out and say, no, we're just playing music and we're just, you know, hanging out, or just to risk it. And so I was like, so I just risked it. And I was like, all right. And so I said, yeah, we're actually Christians and we believe in Jesus. And we're worshiping him right now. And can I tell you about him? And he just says, he's like, yeah, sure. And then he says, but I'm a tour guide, and I have a couple students. Can they hear as well? And I was like, okay, sure. And so he like waves his hand, and then about 40 people come on over. And like, we're sitting there, and I look over, and like, immediately we're kind of like, okay, here we go, you know? And so there's a bench behind us, and we just like step up on the bench, and we're like, okay, we're gonna share now, you know? And so basically it was awesome. The team just goes into ministry mode. I look over, Gabe and Bree are talking to people, and then he starts playing his guitar, and Joel, dude, the guy gets up on the thing, and he just starts like open air preaching to these guys, and like, yeah, it was awesome. And David's talking to people, and Christy's helping out with worship and doing this stuff, and it was just this like holy chaotic moment just broke out, right? Right? Because I was discouraged. I was fearful. I was afraid, but God had a plan. But God interrupted. Like, these people were dead in their trespasses, going to a conference to learn how to become more dead in their trespasses, and God interrupted them. We see, we pray, and we see, and these people totally understand English because they're actually on a trip from India. They didn't even speak Nepali. They only spoke English and Indian. And so we just, in English, we preach the gospel. Do you understand? They say, yeah. And we made it very clear, like, Jesus or that guy. And he's like right there, the golden statue. And so we're like, you have to choose. You cannot worship both of them. And we see like 30-something people raise their hands and say the prayer of salvation with us. And then we see, it was so cool, Gabe and Christy had this idea, and then they start to teach him the song, Good, Good Father. And in front of the Buddhist statue at a Buddhist conference, we sing like 30, 40 people, we sing Good, Good Father together and worship God. Man, he just loves to interrupt us. And I believe he's doing this in our hearts. I believe he's stepping in and just sideswiping some of us today. Can I tell you another story? So we went up, we trekked literally up like a riverbed. It was like this desert. It used to be a river and all dried up. It was a desert. It's like I'm walking thinking, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? And I'm saying, I didn't know David went to Nepal. Like, this is crazy. This is, must have been where he wrote the psalm. Like, this is a desert, man. And so we're going through that, but then we climb up, we go into this town, and then we get in beautiful mountains. They're just gorgeous. And we go up, and we're in this little town, and really, it didn't look like there's much ministry there because there was no church established. There was no ministry established. We just showed up. And so then we begin to go kind of house to house, and we say, let's just invite people to come out at 6 o'clock and we'll show them something. Like, hey, just come at six, you know? And they're like, okay. We see like 60 something people come. And then it was awesome. We do these skits and it's great. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is amazing. Zach gets up, preaches the gospel to all like 50, 60 of them. It was fantastic. And I'm just sitting there like waiting, amazed, because I had an expectation, because I knew that the human heart is designed to want this message. Like, the human heart jumps towards this message, right? And so we're sitting there, and then we do an altar call, and I like can't wait. We do the altar call, and not a single person raises their hand. And then all of a sudden, it's like this awkward, like, discouragement just goes into my heart. And I'm like, what? And then so then I go up, and I like try to preach the gospel again. And surely they misunderstood. It was a translation issue or something. And so I get up there and I do an altar call again. 0%. And it's like, they understand. Like, the guy, like, who wants this? And like, no, I don't want it. And you're like, what? And I literally kind of became a funny quote on the trip. I just yelled. I was like, nobody? I was shocked. I was, not one person wants this. Are you serious? Like, I just couldn't believe it. I've never had an altar call of zero before. Like, it just has never happened. And I was like, this is crazy. And so we're sitting there, and I'm like afraid and fearful, and I don't know what to do. My team's amazing. They're animals. They go for it. But they look at me like, what do we do? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, all right, have a good night, guys. And like, just leave. But, and then I just like, I don't know. Oh, man. And I was in a hard spot. Just being vulnerable with you. I didn't know what to do. But God was never discouraged. But God knew what to do. But God had a plan. And all of a sudden, this, like, I don't know, it wasn't me. This boldness just came on me. And I just stand up and I said, is there anyone who's in pain or sick? And then finally, one guy raises his hand and he comes up. I was like, get up here. And he comes up. And then we said he had all this pain and all this stuff, right? It was like nerve damage or something like that. And I said this phrase, I just was like, I said, if God is real and what we preach to you is true, then he will heal this man. And right when I said that, I was like, oh, no, wait. And then I was totally like, I've never said that before. I can't believe you said that. Like, what? Like, that had to be the Lord, because that was not me. Like, and then they're like, okay, like, you got nothing to lose. It's already an altar call of zero divided by zero. You're still getting zero. So it's like, so we just say, okay, here we go. And so I'm with me. It's me and this guy, Kellen. Kellen gets up, says this beautiful prayer. God, you're powerful. You're mighty. You can heal. And we say, heal right now. I get up, I put my hand on it, and I'm just like, God, I promise. And I was like, please. Like, please show up. Like, it wasn't this amazing general in the faith moment. It was like, oh, Lord. Like, I don't want to be a liar. Like, please, like, help me. And so... But God showed up. The man got instantaneously healed in front of everybody. To the point where he said, I got healed. And the people said, no, you didn't. And he, because they knew each other. They were like buddies. And he was like, yes, I did. And he starts fighting on our side. And then he singles out people. And he's like, you, I know you have pain. Come here. And he pulls a guy up. And I'm like, okay. And we pray for this dude. The second guy gets healed instantaneously. And it's an unbeliever in a crowd of unbelievers. No faith in the room. But God had faith, and he shows up, heals this guy, and then it was all of a sudden, it was just like this holy chaotic moment once again breaks out. I turned, and I was like, ha ha, like, two people, like, he showed up, and we just say, God's here, and so we invite them. We just say, come up to us after, like, if you want prayer, come on up to us, and these people come up. Our team goes into amazing, just goes for it. And we're looking over, people are getting led to the Lord, people are getting healed, people are getting encountered, and basically we're able to go back and we give these people Bibles, and it's some of the first Bibles in the region with some of the first Christians in the region. And then we plugged them in, we said in the next town there's a church, we're going to plug you into them. We gave the contact information, and the team who's there said we're going to go out and find them and try to start establishing something. It was a breakthrough into the region. God showed up. I got another. Yeah, make disciples of nations. Come on. Can I tell you another story? Yeah. We go up. I have little titles. This one's called Magic and Mukdina is the name of this title. Because we go up to this town called Mukdina. And Mukdina, it literally means, when you break down the word, God of salvation. I didn't know that till I got home and I looked it up. And it says it's a sacred temple in Nepal, and many people have to pilgrimage to go there. We didn't know that. We just went. And so we go there, and these people, we basically go all the way up, and we're in this town, and we go over to this little village. Zach already began to talk about it. We go in, it's kind of, I'm personally a little discouraged because it's like, it seems empty there. I don't know where anyone is. What are we going to do here? You know, things like that. And we find like a Buddhist monastery, and we just say like, hey, can we share? Like, we go to the monastery to ask to share the gospel, right? And so they say yes, and then they say, well, we have a funeral going on. That's why there's no one in the village. You can share. Zach already kind of told the story. And basically, this girl comes out. She was this younger girl, and we prayed for her. She was the only one bold enough, and she was like mentally like handicapped, and she was the one who said, I want this. And she stepped out. She was the only one who wanted healing because what happened is we preached the gospel. And once again, zero altar call. We preach the gospel, we share the gospel, and I'm all pumped from the last testimony. This is a divine moment. God set it up. No one responds. There's this heckler person who yells out, we don't want that, in front of everyone. And we're like, oh, we'll be outside if anyone wants prayer, you know? And so we go to the side, and this girl is the only one. And she comes up, we pray for her, and she gets healed. But God, once again, had a plan. He interrupted us again. That led to another person wanting to get healed. Another person. 15 people come up, and 15 people get healed. It was incredible. A 100% healing breaks out in the village. And basically, what I love is there's this guy, he was our translator because they spoke a different dialect in this region, and our translator could not actually speak to them. So this man who spoke English, he came up to me originally, and he said, you know, we're Buddhists, we've always been Buddhists, we will always be Buddhists, but you're very nice, thank you for coming and sharing, right? He had to become our translator. And he was the one that we said, can you translate our prayer? And he was the one who they said to him, I'm healed. And he got shocked. He just, and then he looked at us and he said, their pain's gone. The man who didn't believe had to become our translator. He's with us for 15 people as they get healed. The first couple too, I was like, translating. All right, all right, all right. you know what I'm telling him? By number 10, 11, he's praying, he's translating, and I'm like punching him on the shoulder because I'm like, come on, watch, watch. And then they'd say it, and he'd drop his face. And before he'd look at me, I'd be like, it happened again, didn't it? And he'd be like, their pain's gone. One person, he said, we prayed for them, and he's like, they feel a warm current in their body. And we were like, and one guy, we said, do you feel anything? And he said, the translator was like, no, they said they don't feel anything. And then we kept talking, and we're praying for his arm to be healed. And then all of a sudden, the guy stops. And he's like, oh, they say they have fire all up and down their arm. Does that count as feeling something? And we're just like, yeah, that'll count. Yeah, totally. That counts. And so we see this man, he comes up and he says, Taylor, the only logical explanation for this is magic. And I looked at him and I said, magic? That's why it's magic in Muktina, you know, right? And so I was like, no, it's Jesus, man. And I preached the whole gospel to him. And then he says, I'm really going to have to investigate this Jesus of yours. And we see the first Bibles established, the first Christians established. David talked to a guy, and the guy said this to him. He said, you know, when I was a kid, I remember missionaries coming. And he said, but they shared a similar story, and I remember it. And he said, but this is the first time I've ever seen this message come with power. And I remembered the verse, 1 Corinthians 2:4. It says, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. That was us. We tried. No one cared, right? And we're like, we did not convince them, right? It says, my message and my speech were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It was the power of God that woke them up. It was the power of God. Our words meant nothing. God backed us up. We could not do it, but God could. I tell these stories to encourage you guys, but to also inspire what is the but God breakthrough coming in your life. And I think today God's ready just to sideswipe you with glory, right? And just take you into a new place with him, right? Can I tell you one last story before we finish? You guys liking this? It's okay? Awesome. We go, after that, we're pumped. We go back to this main area in the Muktina region part, and we try it again. We just start inviting people to come, and we see like 80 people gather together. And so we do the skits, and then afterwards, we're just like, we're just going to skip the altar call. We get a zero every time. And so we basically said, this is how we're going to do it. We are going to immediately just jump to the, if you want prayer and if you want this, come to us right now, you know, rather than doing the moment of asking and raising hands. We just said, let's just go for it. And so we preached the gospel, and then we immediately just walked in the crowd and we said, talk to somebody if you want this, right? And we're talking, and we, oh man, once again, God just butts in and takes it over, right? Like, it's amazing. We look over and we just see like deaf ears are opening up, and this crowd is gasping as this man is hearing, right? And Gabe's Bree, and they're ministering with them over there. I see Susan over with these like cadets, because apparently this police officer comes up to him and says, what Buddhist rituals do I need to stop? And we're like, all of them, just all of them. Just throw the whole thing out. Like, just so, right? And we just say, and he gets saved. He gets a Bible. And then he says, hey, my cadets need this. And he pulls his cadets over. We see like 5 or 6 of them or something like that. They then get saved. Now there's a police force with a police chief in this region where they worship a God of salvation, actually encounter the God of salvation, right? And so now they're saved. They have Bibles. They're getting plugged in. I look over and David is running, and there's this man who's out running him because the man's leg just got healed and he can run again, right? Like, there's just this holy chaos moment broke out. God just butted in and showed up, right? Like, and what I love is this, my favorite part is this monk comes up to me. He's wearing his like red garb and all this stuff. And he says he needs healing. And I'm like, God's going to heal you. My faith is finally through the roof because I've seen God show up, right? And he says, I want to be healed. And so I say, put out your hands. And he puts his hands out. And I'm like, close your eyes. And he's never done that before. So he's all like, like skeptic, like I'm like, yours still open, to close them, right? and finally he closes them, and I say, say this, say Jesus, and he says Jesus, and then right then he goes no, and he pulls away. And he says, you cannot convert me. I am a Buddhist. I've always been a Buddhist. I will always be a Buddhist, like all this stuff, right? And I'm like, man, I'm not going to be able to beat this guy because he's been studying Buddhism for 20 years. I don't know anything about it. He's going to out-argue me. And then so I just say this. I say, hey, it's okay. I'm not trying to trick you. It only works if you genuinely want it, right? And so I said, just put out your hands and let's ask God if he's real. And let's see if Jesus is real. And then he says, okay. And I say, so say this after me, Jesus. And he says, Jesus, are you real? Are you real? He closes his eyes. Like 5 seconds goes by and he opens them up. And he says, Jesus is real. Wow. And I was like, all right. We have breakthrough, right? And then he says, but I think Jesus and Buddha is the same. I'm like, so good. Right. Like, so close. And so I say, okay, let's try this again. I said, let's ask Jesus. He says, okay. And so I say, Jesus, are you the same or are you different from Buddha? He closes his eyes. Then he opens up and he goes, Jesus is very different from Buddha. I'm like, yeah, he is. Like, he's actually talking to. Like, Pastor Andrew was singing. He's not this idol. Like, he actually has eyes, and he can see you and hear you and speak to you, you know? And I was like, yes. And then he says, and it's like another straight, and then, because he's like, he says, I think Jesus and Buddha are always to truth. They're all true, always to God. And I was like, oh, man. And so I said, well, let's try this again. Third time's a charm. Let's do it this time. And so I said, Jesus, are you the truth or is Buddha the truth? And he closes his eyes. Then he opens them and he says, Jesus is the only truth. And we're like, yeah! like that was the easiest argument I've ever had. Like that, God butted in. Like God shows up, butts in, interrupts the moment. This man was on his way to death and trespass. He's trying to save the boat he was sinking in, and God showed up and just interrupted it. But God. And if God can speak to a Buddhist monk, how much more can he break in and speak to his children? He wants to talk to you, speak to you. So we're done this morning, but can we just stand together? And I want you to ask God, where do you need God to break in? Is it in your body? You need a physical healing. You have hopelessness because of years of pain, but God is our healer. Is it if financially you've crunched the numbers and you're like, we're not going to make it. I don't know what to do. But God can break in and provide. Is it in your heart or in your family and someone's torn away and there's pain and unforgiveness? But God is the restorer of all things. Where do you need a but God moment in your life? What's the area that you need God to interrupt you? And are you willing to let him interrupt you? Are you willing? All of these moments did have somewhat of a risk of saying, okay, God, I'm going to cross the freeway. And then he showed up and sideswiped us way different than we expected. But he came. And he always wants to come. And so, go ahead and let's just do it like we did it with the Buddhist monk. Put your hands out just to receive, just to say, Jesus, I'm receiving you. And just pray this prayer with me. Just say, Father God, I invite you today to interrupt me, to intervene where needed. Show me where you want to break through. And how I can partner with you. Let's just wait 30 seconds. I think he'll speak to you. Thank you, God. Come, God. keep your eyes closed and focused on him for a moment. For others of you, this might be the first time you've heard something like this, and you have been the first part of that passage where you just feel dead in your trespasses. Or maybe you knew it once, but you've never seen the God we're talking about today encounter you. Maybe you're at a place where you're like, you know what? I need God to sideswipe and step in. I need God to show up. And I want to say today, this moment right now can be that but God stepping in moment. But just like that monk, you have to ask him into your heart. I can't trick you into it. But if that's you and you say, hey, I'm ready to surrender, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus, or if you're saying, I'm ready to rededicate my life to him. I heard about Jesus once when I was younger, but I've never seen a God move in power before. And I need that God to just butt into my life. If that's you, and God's just tugging on your heart right now, every eye is just closed, just you and me, would you go ahead and just look up at me right now? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Would you take that step to invite God to come? Thank you, Jesus. And then now, just everyone know together in the room, can we just pray this out together? Just say, Father, I know my sins separated me from you. I repent and ask for forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for my sins. He was resurrected and is alive. I invite you, Jesus, to become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill my heart and make me new. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.